When I was in high school, which was eons ago, I had this teacher who loved to say, "The truth will set you free." And he said it with the smugness of a man who clearly wasn't free, unless freedom means wearing the same mustard yellow tie for the last 15 years and grading papers like it was a form of slow bureaucratic torture. So one day, I dug up the nerve and I asked him, "If the truth sets you free, why do so many people look like they're serving a life sentence?" Now, he didn't answer. He just kind of sighed the way adults sigh when they realize the next generation is going to dismantle their entire worldview with a single sarcastic question before lunch. Now, for context, this was during the heyday of Generation X. And the older I get, the more I realize truth isn't even something we agree on what it is. Truth seems to have become highly subjective these days. So some people say truth is correspondence, like reality is a mirror and facts are what line up with the reflection. And I've also heard truth described as coherence. If your beliefs don't contradict each other, well, congrats. You're living in a neat little spreadsheet. And then there's others who say that truth is just consensus, which basically means truth is whatever enough people clap for at the same time. Though I think that last one should terrify you, because it means truth is basically peer pressure with better branding. And that's not a version of truth that I want to live by. Okay, but here's the actual nightmare. Society only works if we can agree on at least some universal truths. And not necessarily the cosmic ones. Nobody's ever going to nail down the meaning of life or whether God is real or why Taco Bell still exists. But I'm talking about the basics here. Like 2 + 2 = 4, water is wet, the guy in the lab coat probably knows more about biology than your cousin who just discovered weed. And yet, somehow, I think we've lost even those at this point. Reality itself has turned into a like a choose-your-own-adventure book, except every ending is kind of dumb, and most of them end with society collapsing. Now, when I look back, it seems that we used to fight about opinions. Everybody had an opinion. But now, we're just fighting about facts. One group says the world is round, the other insists that it's flat. And honestly, both sides are wrong, because the world is hell, albeit a beautifully miraculous one. Jokes aside, I think if truth were a person, it wouldn't be noble or radiant or even liberating. Truth would be sitting in the corner of a dive bar, chain-smoking American spirits, and whispering, "Don't drag me into this mess. I retired in 1999. So maybe it's not that truth died. it just quit showing up to work, so to speak. And can you blame it? Because these days it just seems like people don't really want truth. They just want what they think is the truth, or just something more comfortable. They want truth the way you want fast food. Cheap, convenient, but basically full of chemicals that trick your brain into thinking it's satisfying. That's what post-truth means. We're immersed in all these lies, but moreover, we've become connoisseurs of lies. We don't just consume them, we actually savor them. And we argue about which vintage of bullshit pairs best with our worldview, and then we call it dinner. Now, if you want to know what post-truth looks like in practice, just open your news app. It doesn't matter which one. They all read like different translations of the same surreal fever dream. So CNN says we're all doomed. Fox says we're all doomed, but for completely different reasons. And some guy in a forum from 1998 still swears it's Y2K. And honestly, I almost prefer that kind of paranoia in comparison to the wild stuff we've got going on nowadays. This isn't politics anymore. It's improv theater performed by narcissists who've mistaken their microphones for sacred relics or something. And it seems that instead of instead of electing leaders, we are just casting actors. And they don't even govern. They perform. And they perform badly, like bad actors. Sorry, couldn't resist. So Nietzsche said there are no facts, only interpretations. But let's bear in mind that Nietzsche also went insane. So maybe we should be a little wary of building society around his ideas. Still, he wasn't wrong about the interpretations part. Modern politics is just basically two groups screaming different interpretations of the same vague reality until one side wins. And not because they're right, but because their lies were more emotionally satisfying or convincing. And that's how people vote now, from an emotional perspective rather from a factual or critically thinking one. And this is because truth doesn't really matter anymore. What matters is who told the better story. And by better, I mean the one that made you pissed off enough to stay tuned after the commercial break. So the media, of course, figured all this out decades ago. Journalism used to be about truth. And now it's just about engagement. And, well, what engages us? Well, let's see. Outrage, fear, warfare, corruption, and so on and so on. Which means the truth isn't just irrelevant, it's actively unprofitable. The truth is boring. But lies, on the other hand, well, lies come with explosions and ominous music in the background and panel discussions with titles like Is Reality Itself in Crisis? And then, of course, there's technology, which may as well be a steroid shot for all our various delusions. So, once upon a time, lies had to walk. Now, lies have Teslas. And social media, it didn't just bend reality, it made it customizable. So now everyone has their own algorithmically tailored reality bubble, and inside it, their own little handcrafted truth. It's like Build-A-Bear Workshop, but instead of a stuffed animal, you're building a worldview that flatters your ego and tells you that you're right about everything. Which brings us to AI. Because you didn't think I was going to leave AI out of this, did you? So AI is basically humanity's new shiny toy, though it's probably the last thing we're ever going to invent. Now, at first, we thought AI would solve our problems, help us detect misinformation, fact-check liars, maybe finally teach Uncle Gary that vaccines aren't a secret plot to implant microchips in his colon. But instead, AI learned from us, which means it learned to lie, only better and faster and more convincingly. The French sociologist Jean Baudrillard said that we live in a world of simulacra, where the signs and the symbols no longer represent reality, but instead replace it. And, well, we've automated the whole process now. We don't even need reality anymore. We can just generate an endless buffet of convincing deepfakes, videos, you know, voices, news articles, and even music. It's all fake, but it's all real enough. And the thing is, fake or not, we're going to keep consuming all this stuff, no matter what. I mean, we already are. AI is already ubiquitous, and we're consuming it. Now, at some point, the difference between reality and illusion it stops mattering. When you can no longer tell the difference, reality becomes the illusion. And, here's the dark punchline. Society cannot function without shared truths. You can't build a civilization where everyone believes in different realities. You can't drive on a highway where half the drivers think red means stop and the other half think it means floor it. You can't have science or math if 2 + 2 = 4 is just one possible interpretation among many. And yet, here we are. Basically, we are a civilization in free fall, arguing over whether gravity is real. I mean, that about sums it up. If George Orwell warned us that the truth could be erased, and Huxley warned us that the truth could be, well, drowned in distraction, then I'd be willing to bet that AI is the nightmare child, nightmare love child of both. It doesn't erase or distract, it generates entire alternate realities on demand. And we'll happily live in them because apparently reality itself has become the least entertaining option. All right, so here's the part where things get a little more uncomfortable, as if they weren't uncomfortable enough, I guess. Before we start lamenting the death of truth, we should probably ask, what the hell is truth and exactly? And how do we define it? Okay, so philosophers have been wrestling with that question for thousands of years. Now, Aristotle said, "To say of what is that it is, and of what is not that it is not, is true." All right, now what the hell does that actually mean? Well, basically, what Aristotle is saying, if there's a tree in your backyard and you say, "There's a tree in my backyard," that statement is true because it corresponds to reality. You can walk outside and see the tree. But if you say, "There is no tree in my backyard," when there actually is one, that statement is false because it doesn't match reality. Now, this sounds rather interesting and kind of almost like common sense, I guess. And it's basically mental duct tape that doesn't, hold anything together, really. It's correspondence theory, which is the idea that truth is whatever matches reality. And it works well enough, but it only works well enough until reality starts glitching like a corrupt video file. And back to Nietzsche again. He's never one to sugarcoat. He called truth a mobile army of metaphors. In other words, it's not eternal. It's just language sharpened and weaponized. So he saw truth less as something we discover and more as something we invent to keep from staring too long into the void. Which explains why he eventually stared into the void anyway, allegedly hugged the horse, and more or less fell apart. That's a whole other story, though. And I digress. So then you've got the pragmatists, like William James and Richard Rorty, and their take was basically that truth is whatever works, which is bleakly funny because, by that definition, I guess lies can also be truth as long as they get results. Right? I mean, the entire advertising industry runs on this principle, and so does Tinder, for that matter. And then there's historian Michel Foucault. Now, he pointed out that truth is always tied to power. Whoever controls the institutions controls the narrative. So truth isn't really discovered, it's enforced, which probably explains why our current truth market feels like a flea market run by a bunch of drunk auctioneers. Whoever shouts the loudest wins. But here's the thing. As much as philosophers have, as much as they love deconstructing truth into slippery definitions, society, on the other hand, absolutely depends on it. Look at it like this. Civilization is basically a very fragile group project, and it only works if we can agree on certain baselines, certain established standards. Fire is hot, water is wet, your rent is due on the first. Now, these are boring, unsexy truths that keep the lights on and the plumbing, functional. And once we lose those, everything starts to crack. For instance, politics becomes high school drama with nuclear weapons, and history becomes Wikipedia edits written only by the winners. Education turns into like group therapy sessions where everyone gets to feel their truth, which is fine, until someone's truth is that vaccines cause Wi-Fi interference. And I think the tragicomedy here is that humans need truth like we need oxygen. But apparently, we also can't seem to stop poisoning the air supply. We crave certainty, but we also crave narratives that flatter us and distract us and make us feel less insignificant. So we keep trading oxygen for smoke. And then we act surprised when we end up choking. And at some point, society isn't arguing about what the truth is. It's arguing about whether truth even exists at all. Which sounds deep and intellectual over espresso, but it's really a terrible way to run a civilization. I mean, how do you build a bridge with my truth is that gravity is optional? Nonetheless, that's exactly where we are. It's a world where truth is desperately needed, but is now endlessly sabotaged. Now, I see all this as a paradox that feels almost absurdist. Well, no, scratch that. It is absurdist. Because the more we search for truth, the more it just seems to recede into the fog. And we just keep going in circles round and around with this. So, all right. At this point, if you're still with me, you might be thinking, okay, fine. The reality is a mess. I get it. And truth is obviously slippery. But surely I can find some solid ground somehow, right? Well, here's where I have to respond by saying, well, my friend, Welcome to the Absurd. Albert Camus called it the conflict between our desire for clarity and the universe's refusal to provide it, which is just an astute way of saying life is a cosmic practical joke, and basically, you and I are the punchline. Now, I'd say for better or for worse, humans are wired to seek meaning and to build narratives. And we cling to our truths like rafts in a storm, except the storm is existential and the life rafts are unfortunately made of cardboard. Kierkegaard said despair is the sickness unto death. But at this point, we've all upgraded it. So these days, despair comes in streaming HD with push notifications and, algorithmic recommendations. So we don't just suffer, we binge suffer. Binge suffer. Now that has a nice ring to it. So, philosophers like Emil Cioran, who wrote The Trouble with Being Born, take things even further. Life is fundamentally a kind of error, an inescapable burden. And maybe that's true. I mean, I certainly consider that possibility on a regular basis. And when I really think about it, it almost seems like we've been sold a front row seat to a theater of absurdity without an intermission. Because, of course, why would there be any respite in a theater of the absurd, right? And yet, I can't help but thinking there's something perversely funny about it. The more we chase truth, the more it dodges us. The truth is very, it's very elusive and avoidant. And the more we keep demanding certainty, the more the universe just laughs at us while it rearranges the furniture and changes the rules in the middle of the game and watches us stumble over the rug like a bunch of idiots. Makes me think of that movie, The Gods Must Be Crazy. I haven't seen that in a while. I think Nietzsche would probably say, just laugh at it. Stoics would probably say, shrug at it. And I'm just here trying to do a little bit of both while drinking my coffee that tastes faintly like burnt optimism. And of course, AI fits beautifully into this whole absurdist equation because we invented intelligent machines to clarify and to assist or help us see reality more clearly. And what have we gotten so far? Something like a digital hall of mirrors that can fabricate a reality faster than you can scream, "Wait, that's not true." I mean, the absurdity here is so rich, you could marinate in it like a fine wine. And most of us do just that by scrolling and refreshing and, thinking maybe someone somewhere actually has a final answer. I think it's just built into the human condition, our DNA or whatever, that we have to keep chasing truth. Even though deep down, I think most of us suspect that it just doesn't exist. Because not chasing it, I don't even know if that's an option for us. We can't help ourselves. It's terrifying and hilarious and ridiculous all at the same time. Kind of like being forced to play chess with a cat who knocks over the pieces whenever you blink. Actually, chess with cats is pretty fun if you haven't tried it. Maybe that's how we need to approach this. I don't know. So maybe that's the lesson that the absurdists were trying to hand us with a wink and a shoulder shrug. It's not really about winning. It's not about pinning reality down like some prized specimen in a glass case. It's about engaging with the absurd and acknowledging the impossibility of ultimate truth and still showing up regardless. Even if all you accomplish is learning how to breathe without flinching at every new conspiracy or AI-generated hallucination. Okay. So this is where we are. Reality is slippery at best. The truth is optional. And now AI is getting busy generating convincing nonsense while we just argue about whether gravity is a suggestion. So welcome to the three-ring post-truth circus. But here's the upside. Or I should say, at least, here's the slightly less terrifying side. I still think we can navigate this without losing our minds entirely. And not by finding the fabled one true truth, or by scrolling endlessly hoping someone else has it figured out. I think we do it by cultivating a kind of radical honesty and radical acceptance. These are a couple of concepts I talked about in the video prior to this one. It's basically a refusal to lie to yourself about what's happening, even when it's absurdly uncomfortable and inconvenient. So what I'd suggest, start small and question the narratives that make your life convenient, flattering, or I guess painless. Try to notice when you're consuming reality in these bite-sized algorithm approved pieces instead of actually living it. And practice noticing without judgment the weird tension between what you want to believe and what seems to be happening. And just embrace the uncertainty, embrace absurdity, and laugh when the world insists on being ridiculous, even when the jokes are stupid and cruel. And maybe, I don't know, read some Nietzsche, some Baudrillard, Camus, Chorin, you know, any of these other brilliant misfits who will remind you that the universe really has no obligation to make sense. It doesn't owe us an explanation. So yeah, I mean, let those sad geniuses teach you how to dance in the chaos rather than trying to clean the floor of spilled reality. And look, I think we should again remember the human angle here. And I know I've said this several times in this video, but society only works if we agree on certain basic universal truths. We can't fix the entire world, but maybe we can anchor ourselves to the few truths that still actually matter. I think we should pay attention to facts that keep people alive and keep communities functioning and, bridges standing. Everything else is negotiable and debatable and, yeah, sometimes hilariously optional. So, what's the final absurdist punchline? None of this makes life painless, and none of it is going to guarantee clarity. There's no promise of sanity here either. But I think it does give you a framework for not being completely annihilated by the endless parade of lies, half-truths, and AI-generated hallucinations. And just viral outrage. It's a way to show up with your wits intact in a world that has increasingly decided it's optional. So I think the takeaway here is that we should aim to be brave enough to face reality without always needing some kind of filter. And I think we should try to see the humor in it. And we also need to be human enough to hold on to the truths that matter. And when all else fails, well, pour yourself a beverage and kick back and accept that sometimes surviving the absurd is as good as thriving. Because in a world where truth is negotiable, I think the real skill is knowing which absurdities are worth paying attention to and which ones you can just let slide. All right, I think that's all I got today. Thanks for watching.